Immigration?
Revenue.
Mrs. Rose, there are people here from the government.
Hello, all you beautiful people, and welcome to the series finale of Shitless Podcast. We've reached the end of our journey, and tonight we'll rank each of the 6 Simply the Best episodes voted on you, our listeners, to determine once and for all which episode is our all-time Simply the Best. So let's get to the list one last time, and we hope you enjoy this final episode of Shitless Podcast.
Wait! Stop the car!
What is it?
Just wanted one last look. Driver, we're ready.
Hello, everybody, one last time.
Yes.
Welcome back. We made it, Katie.
Stephanie, it's the end of an era.
It really is. Oh, my gosh.
It's our last episode, a very special episode. We're going to just once and for all organize the Simply the Best.
Yes, we've
our
got
6 Simply the Best.
Our top 6. We're going to go through them tonight, and we are going to finally decide what this has been about all along, which one is ultimately our Simply the Best of the entire series. And we've got some updates before we jump into all of this, and we'll talk a little bit how we're going to structure this episode, because it's different than our normal debates. But before we get into that,
Wait a minute. Before we get into that, Stephanie, a big congratulations to you for winning season 6, Simply the Best, Moira Rose.
Thank you.
We're done with that, because my ego can't take any more of that shit.
You guys, we made Katie really mad this week.
I'm like
honestly
a toddler.
I'm very surprised. Not going to lie. I was fully expecting your episode to win. Even though I loved mine, I felt like your arguments were stronger. And let's lay it out. Like, it was the closest race we've ever had. You
Except
won
for the last category, which I expected. I knew you were going to nail
but
me.
You
in
won
all the
2
fields.
Days.
Yeah, but that's not enough, Stephanie.
But I'm just saying, it's one of the closest races we ever had. And the only category that was like a, what do you call it? Like
a throwaway category?
No, like it wasn't a close race.
Oh, a runaway.
A runaway
was
the final category,
which I 100% expected with that Johnny.
The
Patrick
other days, it was down to just a couple votes between each episode.
I hate that shit so much. I hate losing by one vote more than like anything in the world. And every day it was 50-50 until like 9 p.m. and then one extra vote would come in. So if you were voting at 9 p.m., hate you. Just kidding. I don't. But
Let me go through real quickly. I just want to break down.
I'm a little.
Which episodes won this. Which categories, because it was so close. So Moira Rose won Roses in Bloom, but only by it was 58% to 42. So that was the first indicator that this was going to be a tight week. And then I won the second day, say that again, 60% to 40. But then you won Local Flavor, 63% of the vote. And then you also won Aesthetic. By 58% of the vote.
Man, with that premiere, I would have been super pissed if I didn't win Aesthetic.
Yeah, I think that margin should have been higher, quite frankly. And then I did take it in the end with 77% all the feels.
No surprise on that. Mine had no feels and all funny, but you had that nice conversation with Johnny and Patrick, which really solidified that deal, I think. Yeah, it's, you know, thanks for everyone. It would have been nice to just have a good 3-3, but y'all made it impossible. I actually pre-ordered your award before we even launched the last category, because I knew I had no chance of doing that last category.
To me, it was a toss up till the end, but
not the end. When it was down to 2-2 and the only category left was all the feels, that was a sealed deal, man.
I think in my mind, it was a toss up because I was expecting you to win other categories. So yes. I was a little like, I can't trust.
One caveat about your award that you're going to hate: when I was personalizing, it would not let me put the little accent over the E in Moira Rose.
I'll just get
draw that in with a Sharpie.
A little Dremel tool and just etch that in.
It said, please do not use special characters. Okay. So anyway, congrats to you, but I'm glad we're never doing that again, because I hate losing.
Well, thank you to everybody who voted nonetheless one last time. And
it was fun.
All the seasons. We appreciate it.
It was fun. What about Noah Reed? Tell us.
Yes. So Thursday. I went and saw Noah Reed on Thursday night and it ended up being really, really good. I'm so glad
He's
we went.
Good, right?
And honestly, I'm not a big concert goer. Neither is Sushant. I have a lot of like, I get bored. It was a standing room only venue and that's not my jam. I knew we were going to be there for like hours and it opens before like an hour and a half before the concert even starts. So we came like right when the concert was starting, but it was the opening act. So that was still like an hour. And I almost talked myself out of not going. And I'm so glad that I went because I was just having really bad social anxiety this week and feeling like overstimulated and just like, I don't know.
I just need a night at home.
I don't know. And so I made myself stay at work after work and I worked on wedding stuff. And I was like, if I go home, because the concert
was... You're just going to want a veg, right?
The concert was in campus, so it was close to work. I was going to convince myself not to go if I went home. And I said, I just need to stay here. And then Sushant will come meet me and we'll go. So he went and it was so good. He's such a good performer. And the rhythm of the show was so dynamic. Like he was at the piano and then he was at the guitar and then he was back at the piano and the band came out and then they went away and it was just him and then they came back. And so it has so many good like variables that it felt like it went by so fast once it started. And he just talked a lot about, he was so funny when he talked more candidly. And he said that it was his first time playing in Cincinnati, but he was supposed to play there 4 years ago. He was like,
I first saw him,
our 2020 didn't really play out the way it was supposed to. So I'm glad that I finally made it here. And he was kind of teasing and toying with the audience for the whole show about playing Simply the Best, because he knows that that's the song a lot of people come there wanting to hear. And he has really great music though. And he even kind of joked, like, it's exciting that now I go to shows and people are actually like starting to sing along and they know my lyrics and stuff. And so there were a couple times throughout the night where he like made us think he was going to play Simply the Best. And he's like, you think I'm really going to play that now? Got you. And then he would play something else. And he was just kind of like teasing it. And then he came out after the concert quote unquote ended and he did two encores and the second encore was Simply the Best.
Okay.
And it started out, I posted it on Instagram for those of you who want to watch. It's like a 4-minute video.
But I didn't get a chance to watch
it. So he played on the guitar. I know when you saw me, he was on the piano, but he played the guitar and it started out very much like it is in the episode. Just him, very acoustic, but then his band kind of comes in and then halfway through, it almost transitioned more into like the Tina Turner rock version. So it was cool to see like the Patrick version from Schitt's Creek and then it kind of morphed into Noah and then it kind of morphed into Tina Turner. So it was a super great way to end the show. We had a really good spot to watch him from throughout the whole night. We were nice and close. And then it was just great. So I'm super glad we went.
Well, good.
It was a great way to like wrap up this whole experience and couldn't have been better.
Fangirl in a back alley waiting for him to leave and getting his autograph.
I didn't. But it was cute though. There was a little kid. I think it was a little girl who was like right up front of the stage. And when he sat down, he saw her and she had a handmade poster. And he was like, wow, I've never had a show where someone made a post, like a handmade poster before. And he asked her what her name was and how old she was. And he was like, you might be my youngest fan here. And then he says, I'm like, sorry about any foul language that might slip out. And she comes back without missing a beat. I've heard worse. Everybody was just laughing. So it was super cute. But it was a lot of, I would say, like a lot of millennials and older couples. A lot of people from like the LGBTQ community, people who had like Schitt's Creek shirts on, people who were there because they were fans of it. Was just a good mix of all different ages, different people. It was fun.
Well, good. That is a nice ending to this whole.
Yeah.
The fact that we both got to see him too. That's nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. What else? Anything else to talk about before we...
The one other thing I wanted to say, I did make a point to watch Good Grief because you had talked about you were super into it or you just weren't a fan. So I was like, well, I'm going to watch it and see what I think. So I actually watched it this morning and I actually really did enjoy it.
You did.
Was it a like a perfect movie? I don't think so. There were a couple of things I thought could have been better, but I, in general, enjoy those more like not melodramas, but like a natural drama versus like really high and low mm-hmm. plot points, edge of your seat kind of drama. I was expecting maybe a plot twist that didn't pan out, but I think I appreciated it. And I think Dan's acting was really good. And I felt like I could see Dan as a different character too, other than David,
okay.
which was nice. So
it's interesting you say that, because I found that in that Happiest Season movie, that Christmas movie, he was very David-like in that movie too.
Yes.
So I don't want him to get like sucked into playing always
he
David
could only
type
be
characters.
Be that kind of character.
Yeah.
So I did actually, I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. And
I do agree. All the actors played their parts really well. Like yeah. I did appreciate the characters and the actors doing really well at that. It just was too boring mm-hmm. of a story for me.
Okay. Fair enough.
I like a little more excitement, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't a blockbuster
yeah,
type
yeah.
of story, but I definitely enjoyed some of like the quieter moments and like mm-hmm. I could, there were a couple parts I could.
I had a feeling you were going to enjoy it more than I did.
Yeah.
So. No surprise there. So
very, very good job, Dan.
That's it for any updates, right? We're going to jump into this now.
I think so. Yeah. So let's give
Run
a little.
Stephanie's put a lot of effort into our scoring cards and our scoring system.
We
our
have
type
score
a
cards.
Showing.
I've got a big scoreboard behind me. I realize this is a visual or not a visual podcast. We'll post some photos.
But for
to show
us, this is
to.
Very important.
This is highly visual for us at the moment. So you guys all know our five categories. We have taken those categories and we are going to be ranking each of the six simply the best episodes on a scale of first in that category to sixth in that category. And we both agree sixth does not mean worse. It just means one of them had to be in that
spot.
So sometimes it was really hard. And then based on, I took a lot of cues from the TLC show Four Weddings, which I know you've never seen, but basically right. four women go to each other's weddings and they have to rank them. And based on the ranking, it's a point value system. So I took a lot from that. So basically okay. first place in a category gets you 10 points and then second place is 8, third place 6, fourth is 4, fifth is 2, and sixth is 1 point. So Katie and I are both, we've already ranked them and we're going to be sharing them and kind of talking through our thought process.
And we've done our homework.
I've got a big scoreboard here that we can tabulate because we all know.
So we're like, going to have a point total. Every episode is going to have a point total.
A point total. Because we each know how we feel about it, but it'll be interesting how our scores compare. So we've got our five categories per usual, roses in bloom. Say that again. Local flavor, aesthetic, and all the feels. And then we did a sixth category, which is our all-time favorite. Because I think you and I maybe have.
We both definitely have our favorite.
Yeah, just about like the overall episodes that we love. So those are the six categories. So I guess there's like between the two of us, 120 points possible for any given episode. And then let me run through the episodes that were the winners really quickly. And we can kind of give a shout out. Your episode one, season one, which was season one, episode 10, Honeymoon. So give us a quick recap of that episode.
Yeah. And I just watched this episode this morning again for laughs. It is such a funny episode. So in that episode, the elder shits get invited to Roland and Jocelyn's luau, or rather they invite themselves, if you will. And on the opposite side of the kids' side of things, they all have a dinner party at Ted's. And we are privy to one of the most awkward dinner scenes ever. And then David and Stevie are still... I mean, the previous night they slept together. So they're hashing out whatever this.
They've woken up in the satin sheets of it all.
With whatever this Friends with Benefits things is. So really funny episode.
I watched all six in the last 24 hours and it was so fun. I haven't really gone back
really
at all.
It really was.
To see the evolution episode by episode. But also I think we have six really strong finalists.
There were two I didn't watch. I didn't watch the very last one because we just watched it. I didn't watch Moira Rose. And I also didn't watch Grad Night because I've seen that one.
You know that one
a
like
bajillion times. So I did watch the other four though.
Yeah. So that was season one. And then we moved into season two, which was my winner. It was the season finale, episode 13, Happy Anniversary. And this is the one with Mutt's barn party where Alexis beats Mutt's new girlfriend that he's moved on from her with. And she has a nice, sweet moment with Ted. And starts to understand empathy a little bit. And then the biggest part of it really is, oh, and Stevie and David are competing for Jake's attention and mouth. And then Moira and Johnny go out to dinner in Elmdale with, well, they run into some old friends, and then the shits show up, and there's that really big important speech that Johnny makes. Mm-hmm. And then the wonderful dance party at the end of it all. So that was good. Season two. And then season three was your winner again. It was also the season finale, episode 13, Grad Night.
Yep. And in that one, Alexis graduates high school. She's completed her GED or whatever you call it at that point. And it's really the beginning of David and Patrick. We find out that Patrick is actually interested in David after so much speculation for a lot of this season. And then Johnny is also like really taking ownership and pride in helping out at the motel. He sells out the motel. So big night for everybody in that episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
And Moira too. Moira too, like really becomes a mother to Alexis in that episode.
One of my favorite all-time outfits of hers.
Minor details.
With the Jazzy Gals.
Yes. Such a good one.
And then we had season four. It was episode six, Open Mic, which after this week's concert is extra special to me. But that's where we learn of the butter-voiced beau that is Patrick Brewer as he serenades David. And then that's also the episode where Moira finds out the sonogram results accidentally of the shit baby. And Alexis is trying to help the motel with their branding. And we do see Ray Boutani in that episode, which
such a good ending to that episode too, as I was watching it back.
Yeah.
So good.
Good one. And then we have season five.
I might as well just sit back since you'll be talking about the last two.
Season five was the finale, episode 14, Life is a Cabaret. I think we all have heard me talk enough about that episode, but you know I love it. It's kind of a singular storyline episode. There's also the engagement news kind of floating in the background. And then the cliffhanger when the Crows movie gets shelved at the very end.
Oh, what a season finale.
What a finale moment. And then I had written TBD on our scorecard until this morning, but season six winner was episode seven, Moira Rose, which we just talked about last week. That is the one where Patrick and Johnny connect over pizza and baseball. Alexis takes the townie ladies to a cult exercise class at Elevation. Moira and David connect over some very bad wine at Herbert Linger Winery. So
lots of fun in all of these episodes.
Lots of fun. We also have some honorable mentions that we're going to mention at the very end as we tabulate our totals. So be sure to stick around for those, because there's 80 episodes and it's hard to imagine picking just one of them, yes, let alone the six absolutely. That we've narrowed down. Absolutely. So with that, Katie, I think we should go ahead and get started. So my thought is we will kind of run through starting at sixth place and then working our way up to first, and we can share our
by our category
for
each. Too.
Yes, for category. So let's start with Roses in Bloom. Would you like to share what was your sixth place for Roses in Bloom?
My sixth place was easy for this category. Okay. It was Moira Rose, simply because we're wrapping things up and not a lot of nice moments, but not so much growth, I guess.
Yeah.
For anybody in that.
Mine is also Moira Rose.
No surprise.
I agree. At this point, a lot of that growth has happened. And at least in the episodes we're looking at, I think this one is more of like
a filler for this category.
A filler. Yeah. It didn't have any substantial growth. So I think it's good. We're on the same page there. Okay. What's your number five?
So, number five, Honeymoon. For me
too.
I think we'll be pretty close in this category and the all the feels category.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet. Honeymoon. Yeah, there's a lot of growth for season one, but just compared to the ones coming up, it didn't compare to me.
Yeah. Like Alexis doesn't really grow in that episode. I think Johnny and Moira maybe have more growth because
definitely
learning to socialize.
They're branching out and making friends.
Yeah. But I agree. Compared to other ones, it was a little bit lower on the list. All right. What's your number four?
You're going to hate me for this. It's Cabaret.
Mine is Cabaret too.
Is it? Oh my God. I thought you'd have this one higher up.
No, I don't. We are still the same for everyone.
I feel like, you know, it was obviously great for Stevie and even Moira a little bit, but everyone else was just kind of filler material in this episode too.
Yeah, I agree. I think like David has already had his big moment in the previous episode.
Mm-hmm.
Alexis, again, it's more a celebration of the show and Stevie, and not to diminish her. Like, that's why I think it deserves some credit, but it's not top of list.
Johnny is hardly in this episode at all, too.
He's so just waiting for Damian Steele to show up so he can. Or no, that's a different
season. Grad Night.
That's Grad Night. It was one of the other season finales. Yeah. Not a lot. Not a lot there.
Not a lot either.
All right. Third place. So we are 3 for 3, the same. What is your third place?
Open mic.
We are still tied.
Okay.
Open mic. Yeah. I'm there too.
All right.
I think that one is big for David, just with his like letting himself be vulnerable in public and leading into a new exciting relationship. Stevie and Johnny have some good moments there too, with the whole motel thing and kind of committing as business partners, where we learn Stevie's kind of unsure about that. Alexis is trying to grow her business skills, even though she's still in college at that point.
I do love the ending too, when they take the blindfold off Stevie in the motel. Yeah, it's really a turning point, like, for that. Yeah, so
definitely. Okay, so we are still tied. What's your number two?
Happy anniversary.
Okay.
So we're flip-flopping on the last here, yeah. two.
Happy anniversary is your number two. Okay, give us a quick spiel.
This is very, just very high up, because it was the first episode that made me just be like, wow, these people are like settling into this town. They're making friends. They're defending their friends. They're saying, I love you, for the first time. This is like the first episode that gave me the warm and fuzzies. Yeah. So definitely, I think they've all made great strides. And I think it's an overall culmination of seasons 1 and 2 at this episode, like from where they started to where they are at the end of this episode. So all of them are blooming by the end of this one.
Definitely. My number two is Grad Night. Again, I think this is a really great episode for Alexis, just a big accomplishment. And then she's also being kind of selfless, where she realizes that maybe she shouldn't be taking someone else's spot if someone else would really enjoy working in a vet clinic and touching animals every day. And that leads her to think, like, what other things are out there for me? And then letting herself kind of celebrate her accomplishment of graduating. And then just the mother-daughter moment when Moira realizes she does want to be there to celebrate Alexis. And then just all of the ooey gooey feelings with David opening up to the possibility of a real relationship. And Patrick has so much growth in that episode, basically coming out of the closet and getting to and express how he actually feels about David. Mm-hmm. And that's just a huge moment. So I put that one as my number two.
No surprise then. Grad Night is number one for me. Yeah. This is just because it had something for everyone, every Rose member, including honorary Patrick, who gets adopted in later, but it's big for him. It's big for everybody, between Johnny selling out the motel, Moira showing up for Alexis graduating, and David, like you said, starting this relationship. This is the start of a big relationship, something we end the show with. So that's why that is number one for me. And roses in bloom.
Nice. My number
one anniversary
was
for you.
Happy anniversary, because I think I look at it from like a character arc perspective for John or for David. Literally the last shot in that scene is them dancing happily as a family and as a community. And David's little smile at the end before it cuts to black, because he started that episode in an Amish field trying to run away from home and that's so unhappy. And he gets such a great character arc throughout that whole second season. Also just Johnny finally standing up to
his old friends,
his bad old friends, who left them in the dust. And then also standing up for the shits and giving them all the credit they deserve for all the help that they've given them. And finally, like, admitting that he is grateful, and then flat out saying he's proud to be a part of this community. Excellent. And then they get to celebrate in the end. So that one for me was a clear roses in bloom in that sense.
Very good. Okay. All right. Well, that was fun for the first category.
All right. Category one, Then
what's next?
I feel like I'm playing Yahtzee. Yahtzee. All right, Katie, next, should we move on to Say That Again?
Yes, Say That Again.
So these are all those one-liners, yeah, unforgettable one-liners in the episodes.
As I was judging these, I was judging them and noting the lines, but I didn't write any of them down. Well, I know some of them by heart, but
yeah,
I feel like I'm going to have a hard time remembering why I rated these.
I know. I kind of look back at our list of potential episode contenders, but that doesn't encapsulate everything either. So,
oh, absolutely not.
To me, it's more the ones that really stand out in my mind. Yeah.
All right. So what about, say that again. Why don't you tell me first this time? What'd you put for number six?
So for number six, I put Grad Night.
Grad Night. Okay.
Mostly because off the top of my head, there weren't like any real standout, you know, it's like the happy day, Alex and Davis. There's a line about poor thing went to cat camp when Alexis is looking through the resumes.
Reading their resumes.
Yeah. But to me, it was like there were no like nothing I would put on a tea towel or a oven mitt.
Yes. Yes. I get that. I get that. My number six was open mic for similar reasons. There just wasn't anything memorable. I do enjoy Patrick's should I wear my fringe vests? And more importantly, should I wear anything under it? There wasn't a lot that I could recall, though, in that episode that,
yeah,
like you said, like I would get on a shirt or something like that.
I do like Moira's line of who put a ghost on my desk. But
yes.
So that was actually this was my fifth.
That was your number five.
Mic.
OK.
Yeah. Kind of for the same reasons, like some really great moments, but not like really crazy one-liners. Yeah.
Okay.
What was your number five?
My number five was Cabaret.
Okay.
What does stand out from Cabaret? I do enjoy Moira's pep talk to Stevie.
Mm-hmm.
And I do enjoy the freak out scene when everyone's finding out about David's engagement. And she says, what are you doing? Sister's Day. But not a lot of quotables for me on that one.
Okay. We're like one off here because moving on to number four, mine was Life as a Cabaret. The one memorable one I can think out of this is at the beginning, we are on the precipice of greatness.
So to prepare for this category specifically, I went through and just like spied on your notes and my notes because I was like, I need to just look at what we've jotted down like individually. So,
yeah.
Okay.
So yes, kind of same reasons, great storyline. But to me, that was like a pretty notable thing. I also like the one point she says, break all your legs.
Yes.
Yeah. What was your number four?
Grad Night was number four for me. Now, this was a toss up. This I actually had it as number three, but I switched it after I wrote it down. Like you said, not a ton of things, but there were a few funny things like Happy Day, Alex and Davis. Mm-hmm. And I love Twyla talking about the mozzarella sticks and the freezer burn. And there was something else in the beginning of that one that I really liked too. Hold pause,
I do
please.
Like Patrick and David's kind of flirty banter when they're talking about the cafe. Like,
oh, and then another one of my favorite lines I do use often is when Patrick asks David if he had any birthday plans, and David's like, well, I plan on popping a pill, crying a bit, and going to bed early.
Yeah.
I do like spit that out every now and then just at random. So I do enjoy that. So number four, good, but you know, it's in the middle of the road there,
yeah,
I think.
Definitely.
So, number three.
Number three for me is Happy Anniversary.
Me as well.
Okay. I think it is a very memorable episode. I love when they see their old friends, their shitty old friends, and they're like, oh my God, the roses, you're alive.
It's Johnny's speech for me on this one.
His speech, yeah. And it's not called Schittsville, it's called Schitt's Creek, and it's where we live. Like, love that moment so much. Mm-hmm. I also love Stevie and Patrick trying to see who Jake is into, and David comes running back into the barn.
Yeah,
we funny. Just necked out behind the barn.
We put our mouths together.
Yeah, there's some good ones in there that
so good.
Make me laugh every time.
I just called a last minute audible for my number.
Are you going to do a switch?
For my number two, yeah.
Okay.
So my number two is Moira Rosé.
Same.
Because I just made this switch because what you said at the beginning of this category, how it's like for memorable things and like quotables, like things I would put on a shirt or a towel. So
yeah,
you won that category this past season. And for good reason, because you had that wine scene. Like, that is where all the great lines come from in that episode. Yeah. So
there's so many that taste like, taste like amoxicillin.
I've had worse things in my mouth.
Getting notes of tomato. Just
who is she and how do I get a mouthful of her? Yeah.
Yeah.
That was so high up on my list just thanks to that singular scene.
Yeah, totally.
So then obviously we have the same.
We switched and now we have the same first place.
Honeymoon for number one.
And like you said, it's because of the wine for me.
Yep.
I'm into the wine and not the label. I think that's
100%.
I could not give this episode first place just because of that one line alone.
Honey Pea. I was definitely debating it before this as I was rating, but I was like, no, this is why this is number one for us. It's such an iconic thing from the show.
It's iconic. It's like super impactful too, as we talked about in that episode. People use that to explain their own sexuality or to come out to their parents, and it really makes it like super understandable and straightforward.
A couple of other notable things from that episode was also when Roland and Johnny are talking about their kids. When it comes to matters of the heart, you can't tell your children who to love. That's very wise for Roland, of all people. And one that just really makes me laugh is not notable at all, but it just cracks me up every time, is when the dinner scene goes wrong and Ted says, well, I guess we're not playing headbands.
I also love Moira frustrated at the cafe when they're talking about this big party they're having. And she finally just like slams her hands down. Whose pig do we have to slaughter to get an invite?
Yes. I do think that seasons one and two are, I think, a lot funnier to me. It's more comedy than like emotional, but it gets more emotional as the show goes
because
on.
Just because we become more invested.
And we're like learning their characters and all their quirks. And they're so hilarious in seasons one and two to me.
Totally. I also love Johnny saying, we do have to be careful with our hearts and
I
our parts.
I forgot about that one. And the podunk baby out of wedlock line. Check that cycle, Missy. So many good. Yeah.
So alone, the wine and not the label is enough, but those just kind of reinforce that this is top tier. Say that again. Well, good. We were on the same page for quite a lot of these, Katie.
Very close.
Nice job. All right, Katie, on to category three, shall we?
Which is?
Yum, yum. Local flavor.
Local flavor.
Nom, nom for us.
Nom, nom for us, Stephanie. Okay, never say nom, nom again. I had a challenging time with this one.
I kind of did too.
I think this was my last one that I filled out.
This was one where, same actually, I felt like, okay, sixth place does not mean last, because to me, these are all very strong in their local flavor qualities, but ultimately like you have to pick a last place and you have to pick a first place. So I struggled to place them here as well. With that being said, what was your sixth place for local
My
flavor?
My sixth place for this was open mic.
Okay.
Obviously, the thought of an open mic night at a local establishment is very local flavory, but not a lot of townies in this episode, I think, is why I placed it where I placed it. We did get to see Ray, which I kind of forgot about, but not enough townie action for me for this.
And that's
episode.
One thing with this episode, I went back and forth of like, am I looking at the moments that are like small town life, or am I looking at like small care, like townie characters? Because that kind of had me split in some of these.
Yeah.
My sixth place, you might be surprised, and I am too, is Life is a Cabaret.
Okay. All right.
I think I love the small town theater aspect of it. Again, I think these ones are all kind of strong for this category, but it's so much wrapped up in the story of Cabaret and Stevie's journey that I think there's less emphasis on like Schitt's Creek,
the small town life
proper.
Of it.
It's more like in the theater and in the story. So I don't think we see, like, I love that it's community theater and that's something very unique and charming, but compared to some of the other small town moments in the other episodes, I ended up, this doesn't just compare. Fell into sixth place for me. I was kind of surprised. Yeah.
So Cabaret is fifth for me. So not okay. too far off.
Yeah.
The reason I placed it just slightly above Open Mic is because everyone's in this show. Like Ronnie is Fräulein, whatever. Even though we don't see her as Fräulein in this episode, we see her at the after party. You know, we know Bob's in the show somewhere. Twyla's a dancer. Alexis is a dancer. Stevie's in there. Patrick, everyone's in the show or in the audience, one of the others. So that's why I did pop it up a little bit higher than place six.
Yeah.
What was your number five?
My number five was Moira Rose. Okay. Because I think the standout for me is the winery, like the small town winery, and Herb Ertlinger, really. I love the Townie Ladies and the Elevation storyline, but that one, I even had a little bit of a hard time arguing that category. And you won that category, I'm pretty sure.
The local flavor? Yeah.
Yeah, last week. I had a little bit of a hard time with my argument for that one, specifically like the Elevation, because that was such like an off-the-wall storyline, but I loved it. But not like a relatable storyline really at all. And then, you know, the moments with Patrick and Johnny are cute, but like wasn't like small town specific. So.
Right. It was just family specific.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Number four.
I have Grad Night as number four.
So do I.
This is one of those, it just has to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Things for me. Like I do love that everyone in town is like kind of connected to what everyone else is doing in town, where, you know, Jocelyn will be at the graduation, but then she's meeting Roland later at the motel, and Moira's with the Jazzigals, but then she surprises Alexis. It's just kind of all connected, but again, not really, mostly the family, not a lot of townie action in this episode.
So when I was choosing this category, I kind of started in the middle. So I think I put my third and fourth down first, and then I worked my way up and down. I put Grad Night at fourth because I do think there's a lot of good local content with the local high school graduation. That's some, and just like the small class size of it all too. You really get a sense of how small this community is. I love Patrick and David's kind of jokes about the cafe being the only place you go to eat. And I'm glad we didn't, you know, we didn't get a reservation. I'm glad we got a seat. The freezer bird mozzarella sticks that Twyla brings out. And then, yeah, like you said, with Jocelyn and Roland and their anniversary routine of knocking boots, probably, I'm guessing, in room 10 in the satin
sheet. The honeymoon suite.
So there's, to me, there's a lot of local interest, local flavor in that episode. All right. Number three.
This will be where we deviate a little then, because I have Moira Rose as number three.
Okay.
You had that already down low.
Yeah.
The reason I put this higher up is because of the winery, one. Because it's such a unique location. And like we talked about last week, all these places have their place. This is the town's winery or the local winery. So I like that. And I do like that all of the townie ladies were involved in the Elevate scene. So that's why I put this one a little higher up.
Okay.
Despite the weirdness of the the storyline itself, I do like that everybody was there and supporting Alexis. So
yeah.
What was your number three?
My number three was Honeymoon. I think I put that one there because I love the backyard party a lot. And to me, that's very small town life. I also love the awkward friend dinner party at Ted's too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with Stevie and David waking up the morning after, going to the general store, I think that's the first time, or one of the first times, we really see the general store.
Like a lot of the inside.
A lot of it, too. And that, I think, really kind of set the visual of like exactly how small town this place is based on how haphazard the shelves of that store are. I just love it so much.
I think she makes some comment of like some kind of medical ointment.
I might need my fungal cream
next to
when I'm
cereal
looking for
or cereal. Like
yeah.
That.
So yeah, I think for those reasons, I felt like this was a good, like slightly above halfway up the list.
This is our top three are going to be very mixed and matched then here. Number two for me was Happy Anniversary.
Same, actually.
Okay. Yep. So you put my number six as your number one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about Happy Anniversary first. I put this high up for obviously the barn party.
Yeah,
what totally. Kind of local, like what kind of small town local thing is it? If you're not at the barn party, you're not, if you're not here, be there, be square.
Right. With know? A, with a stoned Twyla and Stevie.
Yes. And then the parents showing up, even it was a big scene for the Rose family, but even it's funny that the shits show up on their kid's barn party, you know, they crash yeah, their kid's barn party.
Definitely.
And then of course the local Elmdale eatery, the one fancy restaurant and mm-hmm. just a good, good little, I don't know, like showcase of the
and
area
like
and the crowd.
The
whole,
I did listen back to this debate episode and I said how like, just not only the barn party, but like everyone there knows each other from some weird twisted yeah. way. Like how Mutt was like, they all went to high school together.
Yeah.
It sounds like,
yeah.
and Mutt was Ted's bully and Twyla is Mutt's ex-girlfriend and Alexis.
And even
is,
like,
it's just
Jake.
Like,
even Jake, who just showed up tonight, Stevie seems to know him
oh,
already.
Yeah. Everybody
you know.
Has a backstory because how could you not?
Yeah.
Such a small town. So yeah, Katie, your number one must be...
Honeymoon.
Honeymoon. Okay.
So I went with Honeymoon for all the reasons you said you put it at number three, like the backyard party, the dinner party, the fact that everyone knows everyone. The one thing I was disappointed about, though, for the backyard party was that we didn't get to see like any of the other elder townies like Ray or Ronnie or Bob or Gwen, God forbid. But I did really think that this was the first episode that showcased a lot of the local characters, young and yeah. old. So that's why I put it as number one.
Definitely.
So
my number one is open
yours
mic.
Yours is open mic. I put that as six.
I know. I was surprised. I mean, I love the open mic story and just like how easy it was for Patrick to put this event together in a day because it is a small town and walking over to get a permit from Ronnie took no time at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to get a decent turnout because word of mouth makes it so easy in a
true,
small town like
true.
That. I also just love some of the towny moments we get with Ray Boutani, who's working with Alexis to make this crazy promo video for mm-hmm. the motel business. And he's got some great one-liners and constant digs at Johnny throughout that whole scene, which I just love so much.
And he always has good digs for Johnny.
He does. I also just love the town hall moments with Bob and the shits and Ronnie with the whole ultrasound thing. Okay. And Bob even has Gwen on the phone at one point waiting for the results. And then Jocelyn's kind of breaking down in the cafe. Wouldn't want to break that shit family tradition. Stupid witch, she says.
Stupid,
she's like
stupid
so
witch.
Annoyed that they're not supposed to find out the gender. So I think that has a good mix of like relatable local town moments, but also some really funny towny mm-hmm. moments as well with those characters. All right. Looking interesting.
I'm having a lot of second guesses on this next category, Steph, which
are
is
you?
Aesthetic.
This is,
yeah.
our, this is a hard one.
This was a hard one to fill in. Number one was obvious for me in this, but the rest were hard for
okay.
me for me to drop.
I agree. I think this is another one where it was like sixth place seems so brutal.
I just
to have to put something there.
I had no problem filling in number one, 100% easy
yeah.
peasy, but the three through six are just kind of a crapshoot for me.
Yeah.
What'd you put as your number six, Stephanie?
I put Moira Rose.
You did. Okay.
I did. I think, right. You know, with the elevation yeah. storyline, there's a lot of funny aesthetic there and like the prop workout equipment and their costumes and everything are very funny. I don't see a lot of aesthetic, like standout aesthetic with Patrick and Johnny. And then with Moira and David, I mean, the wine bottles and just the environment at the winery, I think, is probably the strongest aesthetic part of that episode. And because I could only really emphasize those few elements, I was like, I guess this one is number six.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I have made an audible decision to to put open mic night as my number six.
Okay.
This is stupid. No, I want to change. I can't decide.
Uh-oh.
Okay. The reason being is the only thing that comes to mind to me off the top of my head, just thinking about this episode, is the costuming and David wearing that flame colored sweater. And I do think that is like really significant. Really, what's the word I'm looking for?
Symbolic.
symbolic and just like an intentional choice. Mm-hmm. But that's like really the only thing to me that really screams aesthetic that we haven't seen already, you know?
Okay.
Things that we haven't seen already.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, okay. All right. That's it. Like you said, somebody has to be six plates.
Yeah. Number five, I'm kind of surprised I put this here, is Grad Night. Okay. Because it has one of my favorite costumes of Moira that I literally wore for Halloween. Yeah. I love her costume. I love the cake. Happy Day, Alex and Davis. I like how Alexis has to style her own cap and gown, off the shoulder look. I like that Patrick matches the gift bag and tissue paper for the gift that he gives to David.
Yes.
Yeah, those are, for me, those were the moments that stood out.
So I put happy anniversary as my number five.
Okay.
I just didn't really find anything notable except for, like, obviously the barn party was a scene they had to set. And but we've already seen the barn in party mode. We've seen it in surprise party in season one. So it just wasn't new to me. And the restaurant was nice, but it wasn't anything unusual or unique to me. Yeah. So that's why happy anniversary is number five for me.
Okay. Number four, I have open mic night.
Okay.
So I felt this was a little bit higher just because I do really like the sort of transformed ambiance that they've made for the store to have this little stage set up. And I do also love David's symbolic sweaters that feel like he's like burning alive when he's thinking about someone singing in public to him that he's never heard sing before. And then it's more like the passionate love that he's feeling inside when it's such a beautiful performance.
Patrick sings at him.
Yeah. What else do I love? I love the silliness of the trying to film the promo video or whatever, and Johnny and Stevie's kind of contrasting looks, which isn't unique, but in that context, it stands out even more because Johnny's in his blue suit pocket square.
And she's in her flannel and hoodie.
And even just how she stands there so awkwardly when Alexis is posing and trying to get her to be more model-esque, and she just becomes just increasingly rigid.
Literally anything, she says. Give me literally
anything. Yeah, I felt like, to me, those were... Like, David has a lot of looks, and sometimes they kind of blur together because there's so many, but I will always associate that particular flame sweater with that scene and with that episode.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I have Grad Night as number four.
Okay.
For a lot of the reasons you mentioned, the matchy-matchy suit and gift for Patrick, the cake. I love the cake. Alexis wearing her graduation thing, like slouch on her shoulders to be cool. Moira's costume. Just a lot of good little, mostly costume stuff in that episode. Yeah. So that's my number four.
All right. Number three, I have happy anniversary. So again, I do like the barn. It is a little bit of a repeat environment, you said, like you said, but I think like we see Stevie dolled up in this, which is David even points out like how surprising that is. She's in this little black dress and she's feeling herself. And that was, we'd never seen her really like that at all. And then Alexis comes in this almost like bridal looking white dress and really stands out and tries to play it off casual with Mutt. But clearly she like was very intentional.
Dressed up for the occasion.
Dressed up to impress. She's also wearing her like high heels at the beginning of this episode when she's at work with Ted with her scrubs because she still can't like fully embrace the scrub lifestyle.
The comfort level.
Yeah. And then I do like the Elmdale restaurant where it just kind of looks, it's like as high end as they can manage it to be in even a town like Elmdale where it kind of looks like it's in somebody's house. And it's just kind of like, it's like 60% there.
Yeah, I appreciate that Roland was in his his leather jacket. Fancy.
I like his outfit as well. And Moira has a nice
jacket.
Moira has a nice big shiny brooch, which I realized watching through, like even on Cabaret when she's dressed up as Sally Bowles, like she's got a thing for those big shiny brooches. That is like her go-to accessory. So yeah, that was my number three.
Number two? Oh, did I say my number three?
I don't think you did.
I did. I put Moira Rose up higher, higher than you on this category.
Yeah, okay.
I love the new scene in Elevation and the burlap sacky outfits. And I think that was just fun to see something new this late in the game.
Yeah.
And I also love, love, love the winery, even though we've seen it before. The fact that this came after we visited there just made like the labeling and all the props and stuff more important this time around. So I put it because of those two scenes, like kind of higher up on my list.
I will say like mine ended there just because I felt like I had to put it somewhere, and I felt bad about it, but that I do think in the end,
and I do love, I love how you were saying at your argument last week about the elevation location and how it looked like it was just going to clean out, like clean house and leave the next week, which I didn't notice until you pointed that out. So
there would just be
like an interesting,
an empty room with one bottle of crystal water left on the floor.
Yeah, definitely an interesting note about that. Yeah. So number two,
I have honeymoon.
Me as well.
Okay. I think the iconic red bed.
Yeah. The opening scene alone, 50
Shades of Schitt's Creek is undeniable.
And then also on the ceiling.
And what a great way to like reveal that it's on the ceiling by that's where we start. And then it pivots down.
Yep.
Also, the backyard party is insanely good aesthetic wise.
All the luau stuff.
And Ted's apartment, which is just a showroom.
From a showroom,
boxed up and sent to him on Black Friday.
The bachelor's den, the executive dining room.
I completely forgot about those details until I watched through it again. I'm like, this is even funnier now.
Definitely good.
So yeah, I think all of these stories have really strong visuals.
Yeah. Number one, then, easy pick for both of us.
Yeah. Life Cabaret. Is a cabaret.
Yeah.
I mean, undeniable.
You can't put that show on without doing it right. And they did it right.
They did.
You know?
I love everybody in their character costumes during the show, before the show, at the after party. I love Moira's getup. I love Patrick's getup too so much. And I noticed for the first time, because he's got those like crisscrossy suspenders, but they actually like they strap through his legs. It's almost like a body harness. It's a little sexual.
G-string or something.
like a giant G-string with a bow on it. It's kind of sexy. But yeah, undeniable in that episode. So much visual aesthetic.
That was an easy number one for me in this category.
Agreed. All right, Katie, should we move on to the fifth category? All the feels.
All the feels. A notoriously big one.
I was going to say, this was always the biggest one to end with each season for good reason. And also a little bit harder to judge because of that. So
my top two were pretty easy for me, but the rest were tough.
Fell into place. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your number six?
So I put honeymoon as number six.
I did as well.
I feel like it's iconic, but it's not super emotional yet compared to the rest. Right.
Yeah.
Like we're just not that far in to the characters where we know a lot about them and we care so much about them as we do later on in the series.
I completely agree. Like there's some touching moments. Probably the only touching one really is between that I can think of would be like Moira opening up to Jocelyn about her background, Johnny and
the dads having a little talk about their kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
But nothing super emotional.
No.
Nothing warm and fuzzy for me.
Yeah. Agreed. Okay. All right. What was your number five?
I went with Moira Rose for this.
So did I.
The only warm and fuzzy is the Johnny Patrick scene, which is a great scene and really important for them.
Yeah.
So
I would add Moira and David too, talking about their grapes.
That's a good discussion, but doesn't like make me emotional like the Johnny and Patrick one.
It's
does.
Not quite as heart piercingly sweet as Johnny.
It's good
and Patrick.
Advice from Moira, though. Very good advice.
But like, Johnny and Patrick didn't have that relationship before that conversation. Mm-hmm. So that's why it stands out, I think, the most. And then with Alexis, there were no all the feels there other than LOL, OMG.
Other than like, let's get the hell out of here.
Exactly. All right. What was your number four?
Next was Cabaret for me.
Okay.
It's high on the list for me for Stevie and Moira. But not for like everyone else is just kind of mediocre for all the feels in that episode to me. It is very high for Stevie, but compared to my other options, like this just had to go in number four.
Okay.
So
Number four was Happy Anniversary.
Okay.
Which I do love. I mean, I love the the speech that Johnny gives when he stands up to his friends and he stands up for his new friends. I love the dancing at the end with everybody's optimism. And I like Alexis kind of learning to empathize and sort of apologizing for what she must have put Ted through. So
okay.
I love all those moments. They weren't like, so I was surprised that I did get emotional. I still get emotional watching some of these top episodes. So I was kind of ranking these based on my emotions in my most recent watch through of like, which of these still hold up time and time again for me.
Mm-hmm.
And this one just kind of fell into the middle of the road, even though I think those moments are so strong. So yeah, that was my number four. Okay. What was your number three?
So then number three for me was open mic.
Same as well.
Okay. Interesting. Very interesting. Obviously, this is all for David here.
Yes. That it's a 3-second song full of feels to me.
Yeah. I also love the fact that Moira is crying in the scene and being very happy for her son.
Yeah.
And I think like those are real tears per what Catherine O'Hara has said before. Mm-hmm. Like just a big moment for David.
Yeah. That's the biggest moment. I would add some smaller moments too would be Stevie and Johnny basically having maybe their first serious conversation about like she needs commitment from him as a partner and then he's willing to give it to her.
The ending though too.
And the ending with the sign is so good. Yeah. I also love the shit's so excited to tell Moira even after she put them through all that stress.
Yeah, I like that as
that
well. Everyone hates on them for interrupting that song, but it like it showcases how much they really like her as a friend and also gave us our butter voice bow line. Yeah. Set that up perfectly. Yeah. Our margarine voice maiden.
Margarine voice maiden.
Thanks to your comedic abilities.
So yeah, that is number three.
Number three. So number two for
number
you.
Number two for me is Grad Night.
Grad Night's number two for you. Okay.
Yes. Obviously, Moira serenading Alexis and her face where she's so excited to see her mom on stage. What a surprise. And it's such a great performance. And their relationship in that episode really blossoms a lot. Patrick and David, obviously, there's so much to feel about them in that moment. Do I feel a lot about Johnny in that episode?
I mean, he's kind of part of the team. Well, not part of the team, but like really getting into the motel biz.
I mean, I love the ending with that one. We're all jolly good people.
Uh-huh.
That's your mother and me and father and me.
Are so proud of.
So some really great moments there. Yeah.
So I did happy anniversary for number two.
Okay.
This is high on my list because it sealed the deal for me on this show. Like, it sealed the deal for me. I cannot watch the barn season without getting warm and fuzzies every single time. And then Johnny's speech at the end, like the episode as a whole up until the end, the ending is what just does it for me.
Yeah.
I love the family. I love that all the kids are there dancing. Ted, Alexis, Twyla, Stevie, they're all in the crowd. Mutt's there with his Tallahassee girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I love that the shits dance together too. Like everyone's dancing as a family. Mm-hmm. And just that scene it'll go down as one of my favorite
with
scenes
the precious
ever.
Love song playing in the background.
100%. Yeah. Honey
so
Pee.
Good.
Honey Pee.
All right. So that brings us to
number one. Which are our favorites.
My number one is Life is a Cabaret.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I just have so much to love about that episode. Every time I watch it, I think it's as close to a perfect episode as the show has from start to finish. And I love that we see a really sweet moment between Johnny and Alexis when he's processing that his daughter is about to go off to start a new adventure. And he gets sentimental. I love Patrick and David getting to share their engagement news and waking up as newly engaged. I was going to say newlyweds.
Newlyweds almost.
I love Moira's whole dramatic arc from being so stressed about Stevie to then being nervous for her and then being completely Moira watching in the wings with tears in her eyes gets me every time, as does Stevie as she comes alive through that performance of maybe this time I'll win. And she's so nervous in the beginning. And then she's so like, she literally steps into her own limelight in that, you know, 60-second performance. But it's so powerful watching everybody watch her too. I think I just love everybody's David's face.
David's and that's jumping my friend to his at feet. The end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that crazy turn of fate at the end too with the bombshell about the crows, but even just the sweet little moment where Alexis and Ted have their little goodbye and Alexis throws in a pun just for
Ted.
I
think it's
so sweet. So yeah, for me,
that one is,
I could go
that one's
on.
It.
Yeah, okay. That's it for me. I know what yours is.
mine is grad night.
Yep.
And grad night is all the feels for everybody. I mean, the start of David and Patrick's relationship to me, all the anxiety and the relief in that car scene,
yeah.
Just that car scene alone and how Patrick must have felt and how exciting it is and where we go from here for them is amazing. And every time that damn curtain opens on the stage and Moira's there, I cry every time.
Yeah.
Moira as a mom is my sucker win for every episode. I say that all the time. There are even like a couple honorable mentions I want to mention that would have been close for Moira's storyline like that. But this one is the ultimate, like, I'm going to put aside myself for my daughter and be there for her. So,
and I think just the words of the song too, like, baby, I'm yours.
Yes.
I'm your mom.
Yep.
I'll always be your
and
mom.
The other thing I love too is Stevie's support in David and Patrick's relationship, because she knows from the beginning of that dinner date what this is. And I love the little thumbs up she gives David as she walks out, like pointing at Patrick, like, this is a good person. This is good for you. Yeah. It just, like so many like goosebumps for many reasons.
So when we got to the cabaret episode or the cabaret debate, I listened back to that. And that was the week we polled people about they think Stevie still had feelings for David. And we were kind of surprised at how many people think she does. And I still don't think I'm fully there yet, but I can see that perspective. But then I look at that scene that you just mentioned and I'm like, I don't know, because she is so rooting for David to.
And think about a few episodes previous when she was like, why are you staying at my house? What are you doing here? Like, like, why don't you figure this out? This guy could be good for you. Like, I think she just, I don't think she did have.
I don't.
I think for a while after what they went through, she did. But I definitely think she graduated more to the friend side.
Yeah. Because think about a few episodes into season 4 when it's before the Olive Branch episode. It's where they're at the hotel and
Getting, like, and they declare each other their best friends.
The lovers curry and they declare each other their best friends. So.
Yeah.
I think if Stevie was feeling something, she probably would have used
that was her opportunity. Yeah.
I think so. All right. Well, that's a lot of feels. All the feels. That's what that
all
is.
All the feels.
All righty. So we have one more final category. This is a new category just for this finale.
Newly invented.
This is our overall favorite. So not looking specifically at any of those elements, but just as a whole, what do we feel is just...
We can definitely guess each other's winner for this category.
We can already, but we will go through the process.
2 through 6 will be interesting to see where we line up.
Yeah. Do you want to start us off, Katie? Number six
for me was Moira Rose. They're
same as well.
Aside from the wedding and the penultimate episode of this season, nothing in season 6 struck me as the most amazing episode. They were all just good. They tied things up and they were cute, but they just don't go in the best of the best to me.
Agreed. I
don't hate.
I don't have anything to add.
Hate. That's just the truth.
Yep.
All right.
So number 5.
I had Honeymoon as number 5.
I do as well. Kind of for similar reasons, but the opposite. Where
like we're just starting out. We don't know these people that well.
Yeah.
It definitely was the best of season 1, but overall,
there's some really great funny moments, but there's still, I had yet to, you know, learn to like Alexis at that point. And we're kind of reeling from this Patrick and or this David and Stevie situation and trying to get our head around that. So there's a lot going on, but it's not like my top episode by any means.
I'm torn. I'm really torn between my 3 and 4 spots.
All right. Well, what are you going to put as number 4?
I'm going to stick with my first instinct. My number 4 is open mic.
Okay. Tell us about it.
I can't compared to the next 3. I just can't rank it any higher.
Okay.
Like, I know it's a big episode for David and Patrick. And I do love that the Rosebud Motel Group is formed on this very day, but I just can't compare it to the next 3.
Okay. Fair enough. I had Happy Anniversary as my number 4. Okay. Because while I love the final scene, like the final bit of the barn finale, and I love the dinner, the other stuff moving through, I think it gets us there. But as a whole episode, like, those are the 2 standout moments for me and not the entire 22 minutes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So felt like I had others I needed to put ahead.
Yes, absolutely.
What was your number 3?
Cabaret for number 3.
Okay.
This one's pretty high on my list just because I do like that they branched out and did something different. They did a fucking phenomenal job with it. Mm-hmm. It does have a Moira as a mom moment in it for me, which I love, just to Stevie this time around.
Yeah.
And I do love that Stevie got to break out and like really broke out in this episode. Yeah. So the rest of this show for her is just a completely different, like a before cabaret and an after cabaret Stevie.
Totally.
I do love also David's proudness of his friend. And yeah, I guess it's just, I love the cabaret, like the new scene here.
My number 3 was open mic. I think there's a lot to love there with, that's where we get Simply the Best. I think without the episode, we don't have Simply the Best. And that for this podcast.
Yeah, it's an iconic, obviously.
For the series.
Yeah, maybe that should have been number 1 for us just because that's how we're doing this.
Maybe, but I think that's where that whole idea comes from, is from this moment and from that song.
Yep.
And the Patrick and David stuff is the most important, but also the Stevie and Johnny stuff, I think, is super important. Mm-hmm. So much to love in that episode. I would love to see the entire open mic series play out that evening. All the acts as well.
I would love to see Bob do beat poetry.
100%. Can we get some bonus behind the scenes extras of that, please?
Yes, definitely.
What was your number 2?
Number 2 for me was Happy Anniversary.
Okay.
It made me love the show, and it will always be one of my all-time favorites. That's all I have to say about it. We've talked about it so much. It just, that's the one. That's the one for me that hooked me.
Yeah, for sure. My number 2 is Grad Night. I love a lot about that episode. I love the entirety of David and Patrick's storyline, how that plays out. It caught me off guard the first time I saw it. I didn't see it going in that direction, and then it did, and I was like, wow, this is the start of something life-changing for the show and for these characters. I get teary and chilly every time I see the ending of Graduation with the Jazzagal singing to Alexis, and there's so much to love about that episode that I couldn't put it any lower than that, really.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was my number 2, and I know that is also
no surprise. That's my number 1, and your number 1 is Cabaret. And I don't think we really need to say much more than we haven't already said. Like,
we've been talking about it for 2.5 years. Why we love these episodes. So
we've definitely picked our winners in this category.
There,
love to hear. Well, we're going to score all these up, but we would love to hear what you guys all think of this format, because it was definitely fun and more interesting than I don't know what I was expecting, but it was a lot harder to grade these. And
totally. And I think we might be surprised. We'll tabulate and then we'll be back in a minute. But I think this was probably the most democratic way to do this, because this category alone shows us how emotionally tied we are to our favorites. But these categories have given the others a chance.
I know. Like, I'm surprised at a couple of the early on ones that might be way higher up than I thought.
Yeah.
So, all right, total us up, Stephanie.
Okay.
While we wait for Stephanie to tabulate, please enjoy this live version of Noah singing Simply the Best.
Listen, I've made certain promises tonight, and I intend to deliver. I love you too. This has been such a fun show. You never know what you're walking into, you know, in a city that you've only seen one big band show in. And I'm so thrilled that it was you guys tonight. I call you when I need you, my heart's on fire. You come to me wild and white. You come to me and give me everything I need. Give me a lifetime of promises and a world of dreams. Speak the language of love like I know what it means. Oh, and it can't be wrong. Take my heart and make it strong, baby. You're simply the best. Better than all the rest. Better than anyone. Anyone I've ever met. And I'm stuck on your heart. Hang on every word you say. Tears apart. Honey, I would rather be dead. Your heart's the start of every night and every day. And your eyes are your lost, now you're washed away.
All right, we are back. Hopefully you enjoyed that brilliant audio from Thursday's concert in Cincinnati. Noah Reed.
Cincy concert.
And like I said, it was such a great mashup of we get the Patrick version, we get the Noah version, and then we get a little bit of the Tina Turner version all together.
Oh,
and
it's very different. I think I told you this when I went. He played it on the piano.
I remember you saying that.
He insisted on playing it on the piano.
He preferred it on the piano.
Because Dan insisted on the guitar, and he really thought it would be great on the piano.
I was curious to see what he was going to go for. But in the end, I think I'm glad it was the guitar, because he was literally, like, he could really start it in that Patrick style, that acoustic style that I love from the episode. So, Katie,
before we find the score, we were going to talk some honorable mention moments.
I think this is the time to do it. So these are ones that didn't make it to the cut either, didn't make it to the final debates, or just ones that we, you know, loved moments from.
The way I kind of thought about this was by a category. So I don't have a lot of specific things written down. I'm just going to kind of browse through the seasons on my little list here.
Okay.
And tell you a couple things that I think stand out.
Sounds good.
For me, originally, when I thought we were doing this scoring system too, I thought that all 12 episodes were going to be included, like the head-to-head ones.
Oh.
So I was originally thinking that Turkey Shoot would be very high up on my aesthetic list because of the costuming and Janine's hair stylings and all that stuff. So I do want to mention that, because that was such a funny episode costume and hair-wise. And I know it was your Simply the Best season one. Also from season one, the Allez Vous episode just cracks me up. The makeup, the bronzer, all that stuff. And as far as one-liners, we get one of the best lines of the show in episode two of the whole series, my best to Bob Cratchit. So we can't forget some of these lines, because
a cold open too.
Some of the best one-liners come from different episodes from also very early on in the show. We have Fold in the Cheese as well. We can't forget that from Family Dinner.
Yeah.
I am a sucker for Moira as a mom. And I think I mentioned this in season four when I picked my winner. The episode Girls Night for me was a contender just for the Moira Alexis interaction. We know Alexis is having a really hard time with her Ted breakup. Mm-hmm. And Moira just gives her really good advice that if it's meant to be, he'll come around. And she's also very drunk when she says that. So that was a good one. And I just have to also shout out my season five, Simply the Best, which was Meet the Parents.
Totally.
Because it was such an important episode for a lot of people in the LGBTQ community and such good writing and all that jazz. So
definitely.
That's what comes to mind immediately. I'll probably play off you as you read your list as well.
Yeah. My list, I didn't go by our categories, but I look specifically at ones that didn't make it to our debates. So ones that were not simply the best for either of us, but I think have some really great moments to them. Mm-hmm. And mine are chronological through the season. So starting with season one, I have Wine and Roses, where we see the first a sighting of Herb Ertlinger. Okay. And that's where Moira does her bingo-ling fucker.
Totally screws up the monologue.
Totally screws up the monologue. And the fact that you got to recreate that in Canada at the winery was so fun. Super memorable there. And then, and actually, I'm drinking out of my Herb Ertlinger fruit wine glass, and I have another one that says, this wine tastes awful. Get me another glass.
Get me another glass.
And then also season one, Carl's funeral. I love that episode with Danny Boy so much. And
that's true. That is a good Moira moment.
That is the lead
it.
Into your honeymoon episode too, with Stevie and David, and poor Johnny coming like face to face with death and like losing it. Totally. So that one
having
is
his meltdown, and Moira just saves his life in that
singing
in that
it with
episode.
Her low baritone notes. So that's a great one there. And then season two, Family Dinner, Fold in the Cheese, making enchiladas. I think that is an iconic bit from the entire series.
Before you go too far into season two, we should also talk about the opening episode of season two, Finding David. Just that whole farm field scene is hilarious.
Yeah. I thought about that one too as well.
That where they're all shouting to each other. That's like just an iconic moment of the show. So, sorry.
What happened?
Carry on. I love how the kids are about to gossip and we're like, can we do this later?
That visual of David, though, is iconic.
So such a good look for him.
And I think, you know, we weren't to the, or at least you and I weren't to the place of like being in love with the show yet. But that was that did a lot of convincing, that scene.
It was so ridiculous.
So ridiculous and so funny. Okay. Season 3, the new car episode where Moira is in that crazy persona. She's
very funny.
I love everything about that. And then they come away with that hearse of a car. It's so good. I love season 4, Asbestos Fest, mostly just because of their performance at the end. The routine or whatever they called it with God bless you, Mary, gentlemen. That we can never get in sync with when we try it.
Yeah.
So good. And then I actually have quite a few in season 4. The Olive Branch, I love that because that's when David does his Simply the Best lip syncing Tina Turner to Patrick.
Season 4 to me had the most character growth.
Oh, like, I definitely
it was after right after David and Patrick got together and Alexis is figuring out her shit with Ted and the motel business is really booming. Yeah. It just was a big season for everybody.
But definitely love that episode a lot. I also love the Christmas episode from that season.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned
it's
that.
It's just such a good like standalone Christmas special episode that I will definitely go back and watch every year around Christmas time without question.
Another moment for me, I didn't win season 4, but another moment that gets me every single time is when Ted sits down in Singles Week in musical chairs and Alexa sees him. Like, my heart drops like every time.
Yeah. So. Season 5, the MVP, the baseball episode.
Funny. Very
funny. Who doesn't love that episode? I think so good. Not enough substance for the debates, but so memorable. Iconic. Love it. And then I did put the last two episodes of the series, which we both agreed like couldn't really go into the Simply the Best.
They got to be on the list.
They got to be on the list. So that would be Start Spreading the News, where we see the Kate Winslet house of David's dreams, and such a great moment there where he decides to stay and realizes he's as happy as he could possibly be. And it's such a great moment for him. And also just the business is going to transform moving forward for all of them. And then the happy ending, of course, with the wedding.
The wedding. Everything coming undeniable. Together. So good.
So that is my list, which is pretty long, but I think it just shows there's so much goodness in this entire show.
Yes,
so Katie, without
what's further the total?
Ado,
I have the results.
I'm a little surprised. Like I said, I think this was the best way we could do this because we are a little biased in our feelings. But
you have the results.
I have the results tabulated. So in sixth place, Katie and everybody, this might not surprise you, is season 6, episode 7, Moira Rose.
Moira Rose.
Coming in with 42 points.
42 points. Excellent. Very good.
In fifth place, we have Open Mic. With 53 points.
Okay.
Episode 4-6.
Okay. Open mic.
And then in fourth place, we have season 1, episode 10, Honeymoon.
Honeymoon was up there.
I think
as we were scoring it, I was like, dang, this one is going to be a contender.
So I think what did it for that specific episode is that episode had a perfect category for us. They got all 20 points for Say That Again. So that... Okay. Is why I think that episode is sitting where it is.
Okay.
With the wine and not the label.
Interesting.
Number 3 is my favorite, Cabaret, with 67.
Cabaret! What?
67 points for Cabaret.
So it then I know number 2 and number 1.
It got a perfect score for aesthetic. But yeah, put it in third place. I'm a little gutted.
I'm a little surprised at that.
Yeah. Number 2, Katie. Or no, I should do it like Miss America. So I'm going to say number 1 and then we'll talk about number 2. Number 1.
I'm so nervous.
First place for the Shit Lips podcast, Simply the Best Showdown, is, drumroll please, season 2, episode 13, Happy Anniversary.
Shut
with
up.
78 points.
Shut up. I am shocked. I'm not mad about this one bit, but I am so shocked.
Runner up season 3, episode 13, Grad Night, with 73 points, a difference of 5 points.
Wow. I am very shocked at season 2 coming in from it's a dark horse from way back when.
It is. But you know what? In talking about it, I feel like this is the right choice.
It's and you even said, right?
This is the episode that made you fall in love with this show. There's so many good moments. I feel okay. And I feel actually really good about this. It was neither one of ours ultimate favorite, which is probably best for our friendship.
That I don't think my ego could have taken that one. Wow. I'm really surprised at that. I was, as we were scoring, I was very surprised at how high both Honeymoon and Happy Anniversary were scoring, but I wasn't sure where it was going to add out because you were running the tally there. So
yeah.
Wow. That was very interesting and a fun way to do this. I love it.
So again, those scores were from first place, 78 points, Happy Anniversary, Grad Night 73, Cabaret 67, Honeymoon 62, Open Mic 53, and Moira Rose 42.
Wow.
So very
well done us. Stephanie.
Well done us. wow. We did the thing.
We did the damn thing.
So what's next for us, Katie? Because this is the end of the road. This is the end of the creek.
You're getting married. So that's going to take some of your time.
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to suggest not another podcast. My friend at work yesterday was asking me, I was printing my score sheets off and she's like, "You're done? Like, that's it? This is it. I'm like, "Yeah." She said, "You've been through all the episodes, all this." I said, "Yeah." And she's like, Are you sad about it? Or I was like, no, I'm ready. not that I hate it, but I'm just like, it was 2.5 years. It was a very involved project. I said to her, and I have to say thank you to you for steering the ship because I said I would have quit a long time ago if it weren't for you. So thank you for running the show, Stephanie.
But thank you for you. You were my backbone through all this too. And I couldn't have done it without you. And you are the one who got me into the show in the first place. So we wouldn't be here without you.
Very true.
I agree. I feel ready. I think we did what we set out to do. And what a way to, I'm so, honestly, looking at this list, like I'm going to frame this. Like I'm so happy to have this whole breakdown.
Pleasantly surprised with how that all unfolded. I really do enjoy it. You guys, you know, fans have been great.
Yeah,
we would love to hear from you about this last episode. We obviously don't have any more polls or anything else to go on anymore on our Instagram. I think we'll keep the account open for a while because I did see we just gained one new fan this morning.
I would like to keep open because we are constantly finding new listeners. And I encourage you, if you want to go back and listen to old episodes, they're going to always be there for you to do that.
Yeah.
I think I could see us popping in on the socials from time to time, too. Like, I'll definitely...
We're going to have to give a wedding update.
We'll give a wedding update. We'll give a marathon update. Anytime we see anything that, you know, we know
our
Schitt's Creek family would love to see, we'll definitely pop on there.
And we always love hearing from you guys too. So it'll be fun to keep us, you know, keep us in mind if you find anything interesting that you think we want to hear.
I think
about.
Of it as when the show ended, how it seemed like it was going to be so sad. And it was a little sad, but it ended in such a great way. And then to realize you can still go back and watch it as much as you want, which clearly we do. And the same goes for this podcast. You can go back and listen to us be silly and stupid. And
we hope you found us funny.
Rant and rave. as much as you want.
We laugh at ourselves a lot, but hopefully you guys are laughing too.
All right. Well, but with that being said, I think, just thank you to everybody for indulging us and following us along the way and all the votes that you may have cast or just messages that you sent. All of it, I think, really validated us along this journey.
Yeah. Fun getting to know a lot of you. A lot of you have been here since the very beginning and write in all the time. So it's really fun hearing from everyone, new and old.
Definitely.
Well, until never then, Stephanie. Or maybe until our next podcast. Who knows? Never say never. Best wishes.
And warmest regards.
Can't let it go. This is precious love. precious love. Fat spatula.